This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Charles Barkley spent some time with us this past hour. If you miss anything, you can always go back. You can listen on the podcast. Go to danpatrick.com. Sign up for the newsletter as well. Celebrity Bracket Challenge as we head towards the weekend. Jim Boeheim is leading everybody. Then Nichelle Turner from Entertainment Tonight. Fritzy and Josh Duhamel are tied. And then you go to the bottom of the bracket. J.J. Watt, Marvin, Chase Daniel, Jerome Bettis, and Rebecca Lowe. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. E-me, I was talking about MVPs in the NBA, and I said Karl Malone. It was Moses Malone who won the MVP as a sixth seed. Karl Malone, I think Utah had the best record in the West, maybe the best record in the NBA that year. Yes, Marvin?
Is Moses Malone the most disrespected great player ever? He's never mentioned in your top 10 or top 15?
Probably. Yeah, he's certainly up there.
I think he's got three MVPs.
One title. Went to the ABA, came right out of high school. Yeah. I mean, that was different. And when you were like, wow, like Daryl Dawkins, you just saw these players and you're going, I just remember, man, that high school player is going to play against the pros. And Moses never jumped. I mean, he was one of those position players. And there was nothing that was refined about his game, but he knew how to play basketball. Like Wes Unseld, you saw him, he was 6'7", he played center in the NBA, but he was 6'7", height and width. I mean, he just took up space, knew how to play the game. Probably had the best outlet pass of anybody up until Bill Walton. But yeah, there's certain players, that's why when you watch them and you go, how does that work? We said that about Joker. We said that about Giannis, Luka. I mean, Luka came in with far more fanfare than the other two, but that's why I look at DJ Burns. I don't know if he can play in the NBA. I don't want to say he can't, because be fair to him. It's like when you say, oh, somebody doesn't have a chance. Well, you do have a chance. And his size, I don't think he's 6'9". I think he's 6'7". But he's probably every bit of 275. He uses his body, but he doesn't jump. But it's position, it's angles, and maybe he's got a chance to be on an NBA roster. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app and our radio affiliates around the country. We may hear from Adam Sandler next hour. I corresponded with him. He's in London shooting a movie, but his daughters are over there on their spring break. And he was going to Abbey Road's studio with them today. So it sounded like a nice field trip. But we'll see if we could have him on today. If not, then tomorrow. So then we can clear up the Happy Gilmore 2. Seton, poll question from hour one. And what do we have for hour two?
We got two up there right now, Dan. We have, if you could buy stock in one of these two players, Caitlin Clark or Victor Wembanyama,
okay,
who or whom would you buy stock in?
I would buy stock in Victor because he's playing on a bigger stage, playing in the NBA. Caitlin will make a great living off endorsements, but I just hope she doesn't disappear when she goes to the WNBA. All of her games have been on TV, some on network TV, and I don't want her to disappear. Mm. Like, you're going to have to find her. But you have to go out of your way to find Victor Wembanyama because the Spurs aren't very good. I would buy Victor Wembanyama because I think he is just starting to understand how great he can be, or we're just starting to understand how great he can be. And you saw that on display last night where he went against Joker, held his own. Now, Joker did put up really good numbers, but, you know, Victor Wembanyama was impressive. And one time, Victor Wembanyama has a left-handed scoop shot that goes in, goes to the end of the floor. Joker gets it inside, goes up to shoot, and he blocks his shot. The next time he had the opportunity, he dunked the ball around Victor Wembanyama. Joker talked about that last night.
Did you say anything to him after that?
Yeah, if you block more shot, I'm going to... something, but he blocked like four after that, so I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, there's not much you can do. You know, this is the best player in the game going against Victor Wembanyama, who's still learning spacing. He's learning where to be on the floor. First time I watched him play, he was just out of position constantly, and he was getting bodied. As he gets a little bit stronger, but finding the angles there, getting position, that'll be the key. But he's got it all. He can handle, he can shoot, block shots, rebound, pass. Just a question of, do you have anybody around him? And that's going to be the key the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. What does San Antonio do? Like, does he get to the point where maybe he's frustrated that you're playing on a team that's not very good? And does he end up in a bigger market or a different team? So I think those are things that I would keep an eye on. Yes, Marv?
If you're the Spurs, do you draft a point guard right away? Just a top-notch level point guard?
Well, I get a point guard. Whether you draft or trade, get a point guard here. Because the point guard can help you get position. You may not understand where you're supposed to be. That point guard can get you to certain places, get you the ball in certain places where you can succeed. It doesn't feel like it's that structured when I watch Victor. And maybe the NBA doesn't feel like it's structured. It feels like everybody is just going to the perimeter and shooting threes. But I would like to, like, specifically put him in position where I know that he's going to succeed. And the coach can tell you that. I need a player to help you get the ball there. And your teammates, I'd be giving him the ball every single time down the floor. And then let him do something. Defense collapses. Maybe he's going to make somebody a little better perimeter shooter. It doesn't feel like they cater to him as much as they should. It's like when I went to see the Rockets, they had Katina Mobley and Steve Francis, and they had Yao Ming. And I remember watching them play, and I said to Rudy Tomjanovich after, I said, why don't those guys get the ball to Yao Ming? He's a good passer. And he goes, oh, they will. But those guys thought, you know, Yao Ming has the offense goes through us, the guards, not the big man. And it didn't take long for Rudy to get that message across. Get the ball to Yao Ming because he'll make you better. All right. Headlines, not much there except for Iowa LSU. That game drew 12.3 million viewers. That's best ever. And then it went up to as much as 16 million viewers as well. Joel Embiid back for the 76ers. Warriors have won 5 in a row. Poll question for hour two is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Well, Dan, you're with 71% of the audience, by the way. They would also buy stock in Victor.
Yeah.
Wembanyama. And we also have the Elite Eight Game 3, Pull Boy versus French Dip. This is a shocking result.
Okay.
Shock. Well, maybe it shouldn't be.
Okay.
French Dip absolutely dominating.
Wow.
Dominating with 66% of the vote.
Well, those are people who haven't had a Pull Boy.
Yeah. Especially a shrimp po' boy.
These are shrimp po' boys today.
Oh, my God.
Yes. The Elite Eight, and you can vote. Go to danpatrick.com. Yes, Paul?
A classic po' boy is, it could be fried shrimp. It could even be roast beef. It could be other oysters and other things, shredded lettuce, tomato, and remoulade sauce. That is traditional down south.
Okay. But I'm looking at the numbers here for Iowa and LSU, and if you're kind of looking to compare just how big that audience was, that rating is better than Thursday night football. Every college football regular season game this past season, except for Ohio State and Michigan, 2023 NBA Finals, the 2023 World Series, 2023 Big Ten Championship, on and on. So an impressive number, but how do you capitalize on that? How do you take that momentum? Because Caitlin Clark goes... Now, can Juju Watkins be that must-see TV? Paige Beckers is going to be back, I believe, for another year. Angel Reese has to announce today if she's going to the WNBA or not. But then what's the WNBA do to capitalize on this as well? Those are things that I think will be worth watching, keeping an eye on here. All right, a couple of phone calls in here. Barry in Santa Fe. Hi, Barry. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. Two things regarding the Elite Eight. First of all, thanks for clearing up what kind of po' boy was going to be. A shrimp po' boy versus a French dip could easily have been the championship round. Another kind of po' boy, not so much. Secondly, the grilled cheese, while a fine sandwich, is a bit pedestrian. And any sandwich that needs to be carried by the overrated tomato soup, not Elite Eight worthy.
No, Barry. You've been living alone too long, Barry. Come on out. You put a grilled cheese and you dip it into the tomato soup? Ball game. And look, the grilled cheese didn't fare as well as I thought. The Cuban sandwich was pretty spectacular. But I think we're just throwing out the generalities there, Barry. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, critiquing a grilled cheese sandwich would be like critiquing Penn State's football uniforms for being simple, simplistic. Some things are simple and awesome, like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. But it's so we're headed towards the championship, and that'll be on Friday. We do have...
Grilled cheese, by the way, won the popular vote. 59%.
Good.
Over the Cuban.
Yeah.
The Electric College.
Yeah, I like that.
This.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. We had, who entered the transfer portal after Monday's result? Was that the Ruben?
Yeah, Ruben's gone.
Yeah.
Looking for a better deal.
Yeah. Sean in Indiana. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Had a couple questions. One about Wembanyama and then one about Marvin. My question about Wembanyama, I know you was talking about him earlier. I admittedly haven't seen much of him. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he's hard to find. But is he just a I wouldn't say modern day, but this next Kevin Durant maybe? Could he be the one who gets the torch from LeBron? And then I had a question about Marvin also. I read a report about Happy Gilmore 2 that Marvin would play a similar role to that of Chubbs Peterson, in which he'd be an amputee pro. But when Adam talked to the props department, they said they couldn't whittle wooden hands that small.
Wow. So. Okay. Sean with a big windup there. That's a shot, Marvin. That's a shot.
I thought we were friends, Sean, but that's all right.
Yeah. Carl Weathers had that role.
RIP.
Yeah, RIP. Carl Weathers there. Terry in Rochester. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
Great, Terry.
Good. Last time you had Sandman on, you were talking about basketball movies and great basketball movies. Although this wasn't a great basketball movie, if you're a kid, it was fantastic. The Fist of Save Pittsburgh, and I got in a bet with my buddies. We bet $500. I bet five of my buddies, $100 a piece. I said they probably didn't mention it because they'd never seen it before. And I said, I guarantee you two Danettes or less have seen Official Say Pittsburgh. So, Dan, I got to hear the results.
All right. Anybody seen the fish that saved Pittsburgh? Well, Todd, Marvin, Paulie. So three Danettes.
VHS.
Yeah. The fish that... Was that Gabe Kaplan? Yeah.
No, that's Fast Break.
Gabe Kaplan.
Gabe Kaplan is Fast Break.
Okay.
Fish to Save Pittsburgh is Julius Erving.
Okay.
Jonathan Winters.
Mm. Oh, Jonathan, yeah. Mm.
Dustin in Alabama. Hi, Dustin. What's on your mind?
Morning, fellas. Glad to be back. Yeah, so what a great week, guests. I really appreciate Bruce Pearl and Charles Barkley. They're always fun as an Alabama fan. And... You know, I understand completely why UConn is such a heavy favorite over Alabama, but I haven't heard really anybody talking much about the possibility of Bama actually winning that game. And if they did, say they played Purdue, me not knowing the history of the college basketball tournament as thoroughly as maybe you and Marvin, has there ever been a four seed to beat three number one seeds? And what would that look like? And how much pressure would that take off the new college football coach?
I don't know offhand if you've had a number four seed who's beaten three number ones. Bama would be a 5.5-point underdog against Purdue. Have those odds for you. UConn would be giving 5.5 to Purdue if they meet in the title game. NC State would get 14.5, and if UConn faced Alabama Purdue faced Alabama, giving 5.5. At least those are the updated numbers that I have. Jeff in Tampa, hi Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, DP.
Hey,
I was just thinking if the emergence of all the NIL money in colleges, is that having any chance of maybe like increasing the age limit? Or make college players stay an extra year or two with hoops. I think it would benefit everyone. I think it would benefit the college game. I think it would benefit the pro game. It seems like most of these one-and-done players ultimately fail. And instead of kicking around Europe or China, they would make more money staying in school, NIL money. And it would be better their personal brand.
Yeah, but we're already seeing that. Paige Beckers is staying. I don't know if Angel Reese is going to go. I assume she is. Caitlin Clark thought about it. Juju Watkins can't go until she's 22. You know, they sort of have that built in. You can't get like college football with the college with women and the WNBA. You have to be at least 22. I don't know if that changes at any point. I don't know if the WNBA, if Juju Watkins said, hey, I'm going to the WNBA, but financially it has to make sense as well. But Paige Beckers is staying. Caitlin thought about it. So there is money there to be made, and you can have more of an impact. You have an impact on an entire town, city, in some of these cases. Caitlin, an impact on the entire sport. But Paige Becker's importance to Connecticut or Juju Watkins to USC, the LSU team, the South Carolina team, the number of fans that are coming out, I mean, that's impactful. And I could see where NIL trying to keep... I mean, what's Caitlin Clark worth to Iowa if somebody wanted to pony up money to keep her there for one more year? How much? I mean, $7 million? $10 million? Juju Watkins is not going to get the same at USC. You know, certainly not a basketball school. They just lost their head coach with the men's side, Andy Enfield, going to SMU. And I guess there's talk that Bronny James might transfer and maybe go to SMU. And there's also the possibility of, I'm going back to when he was recruited. Oregon and Ohio State were in there. And now that his former coach is at SMU, SMU's got money too. If they want to bring him in, they could certainly have that money. All right, let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, So do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What's going on with Eddie Murphy?
Today is Eddie Murphy's birthday.
How old is Eddie? Let's guess. Let me guess here. Todd, how old is Eddie Murphy?
61.
Seton.
60. I was going to say 55, but that might be too young.
All right. Paulie?
Can I give the same guess as Fritzy? 61?
Sure.
61.
I'm going to say 64.
Ooh. Eddie Murphy, 63.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Blue. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. I'm leaving the N out of Victor Wembanyama's name, calling it Victor Wembanyama. So my apologies there to the San Antonio Spurs family and the family of Victor Wembanyama as well. Just want to make sure that he's not upset with me. You know, maybe I
heard they're really mad at you.
Maybe I retire early. You know, I've had a couple of E's, you know, in
the
second hour.
The name's got too hard to say.
Yes. What happened to him? He couldn't pronounce Wembanyama. I got the Greek figure. See, I can't even get it.
Can't even do it.
I'm slipping, Todd. One of these days, I'm walking in, and I'm going to say thank you. Turn out the lights. I'm done.
Let's go Freak and Wemby, and you're fine.
It might be before Christmas Eve.
24-27.
Yes. Yes, yes, Paul.
You know, we did talk to a linguist at a college about names like Wembanyama and Adetokunbo, which, you know, took forever. People in America aren't used to those combinations of letters and those pronunciations, so we don't have the muscle memory to say them. It's a real thing. It makes it complex for people in America to say names like that. They have to train themselves in kind of muscle memory to get it.
Well, if you grow up in Eastern Bloc country, you're used to pronouncing the names that you see, that we might see them, and you'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to pronounce that one. But they grew up understanding certain letters sound like this, certain letters are, you know, a soft L or an H, and so you're able to adapt to that far quicker. Marvin also mentioned that maybe Arizona was a four seed in 1996 when they beat three number ones.
97.
Yep. Okay.
They beat Kentucky in the final, I think.
Okay.
So I think they beat three number one seeds to get to the national championship.
All right. Fair enough. Let's see. Jeff in Daytona Beach. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Danny.
Hey.
I'm currently in culinary school here in Daytona Beach, and I've got a suggestion for your next round of Munch Madness. And these would be specialty sandwiches. I know you don't think they are, but based on the Culinary Institute of America, hot dogs, tacos, tapas, and even calzone are qualify as sandwiches.
Is a hamburger a sandwich?
Hamburger is a sandwich, definitely a sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, Paul.
But with a sandwich, doesn't the breading have to be on either side of it? Not as like a hot dog, it's like a boat.
Or a bun.
Okay. All right. I never thought that it's, you know, a hot dog was a sandwich. Yes, Todd?
But if you went to a burger place or a fast food place, I was just wondering, do you have any sandwiches? They go, no, they'd probably say, no, we just have burgers.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go down to the deli for the sandwich.
Yeah, it feels like a burger is a standalone. It's not in any family. It's just, they're burgers.
It's a burger.
Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking at the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary. An item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling. Two pieces of bread. Even using the word sandwich, like let's say something was sandwiched between two trucks. It can't be sandwiched around a truck or have a truck around it.
Mm.
Two things make up a sandwich, the opposite sides.
All right. Newton in Richmond. Newton, what's on your mind?
Dan, I appreciate you taking the call. The only reason I have a strong opinion about this is I used to own a little place called Main Street Market Deli, and we specialized in Boar's Head and did a ton of sandwiches. And I have a 17-year-old who wrestles at Freeman High School, and he is an eating machine. Doesn't complain about a thing. You put a grilled cheese in front of him, he's going to look at you like you're nuts. Because the grilled cheese in and of itself is great for kids, but it is not really a standalone filling meal. And a sandwich is supposed to be a meal contained between two slices of bread. It's got to have balance. It's got to have zap and a little pop to it. It just can't be that boring.
Yeah, but I had somebody from the Culinary School of America telling me that a hot dog was a sandwich. That's not filling.
And I would adamantly disagree with any of that. But on a sports-related question, I've been watching a lot of the two tournaments this month with the women's and the men's, and not only have I noticed that there's not as much carrying and traveling in these two platforms of basketball, but I've also noticed that this year it seems like the referees are giving some latitude to some rather aggressive play, which makes it a little bit more enjoyable. And I was just wondering, what is your opinion about that kind of officiating by comparison to what we see in the pros?
Well, I don't want to see basketball the way LSU was playing last year in the title game against Iowa, because they got away with being really, really physical. I still like solid defense, but not where you're able to use your hands or your forearm the way you used to be. And there's still carrying that goes on. You know, Juju and Caitlin Clark, they carry the ball. It's just a question of how agree. I mean, it's not like the NBA. The NBA, they know you're not going to call it. It's just basically, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm carrying it. But I don't see as much the traveling part of it. Yeah, I don't see that either. Yeah, Seton.
I was surprised watching some of the women's games. Hey, that's like, man, that's not a foul.
Yeah.
A lot of times I find going down, man, that's not a foul either, huh? And I don't know if it's just because it's a more physical game or if there's a certain athleticism that emphasizes certain things or what, but it does seem like a much more physical game.
Well, I think that you have more athletes who are driving, creating. You're not waiting around for somebody to throw you the ball and you hit a set shot. They're creating shots off the dribble. And I think because of that, you're going into the lane, you're going to have more contact there. Even we're bringing defenses out, pick and roll. So there is a lot of contact out there, because the game is expanded, and they're either shooting threes or they're going to beat you off the dribble going to the hoop. Yes, Marv.
in the tournament, do you think certain teams get a rude awakening when they play maybe a Big Ten team or a Big East team and they go, whoa, like, that's not a foul in the Big East or the Big Ten or whatever? That's not a foul here. So do you think other teams maybe get, you know, a little surprised by the lack of officiating on certain plays?
I don't know if the Mountain West all of a sudden went, wait a minute here. In our conference, that you get that call, or you don't. The Big East plays physical basketball. They always have. They always will. That's why when Danny Hurley was laughing when an analyst said, oh, wait till you get a load of Illinois physicality. And Danny Hurley's like, we play in the Big East. We get this every single night. Yeah, Paul.
Do you guys remember, it was a long, long time ago, like 30 years ago, the Big East expanded to 6 fouls per game. They did it as an experiment for 2 or 3 seasons. I just looked it up. In 1990, the Big East, because so many players were fouling out, they decided to expand to 6 fouls a game, just that conference, which I don't know how the NCAA let that happen. And for 90 to 92, they allowed 6 fouls per game. And then people started getting more physical and they had to retract.
The NCAA is probably finding out right now that happened back then. Like, wait a minute, huh? How did that? We didn't know anything about that. Greg in Florida. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening. That kind of threw me for a loop when he was talking about the grilled cheese is not a sandwich and the hot dog. Man, that's all subjective. They make some great big hot dogs. And come to my house, I make a triple-decker grilled cheese sandwich. It'll fill you right up. But anyway, my point to you was about the food thing was, do you think that, two things I want to ask you. Do you think that maybe the Philly cheesesteak should have its own kind of section, you know, its own little deal? And also, who do you think is the best quarterback in the draft? Thanks so much. Have a good day.
All righty. Kind of random there, but sure.
Hit you with that at the end.
Yeah. You know, what I saw with Caleb Williams, I'd be hard-pressed to say somebody is better than him. That doesn't mean – a lot of this is where you go, the team that's around you. Caleb Williams could have a new head coach next year. Now what happens? Now, who are the assistants? What's the offense we're going to run? Continuity is so important in the development of a quarterback. You got to have that. And Matt Eberflus is on last year of his deal. That would concern me with Caleb Williams moving forward. But I would still say he is. I think the Bears are going to be a quality team this year. Maybe, you know, on the cusp of being a playoff team. They should be. They won 7 games last year. And then what was the food group question that he had? Do you guys remember?
A Philly cheesesteak?
Oh, Philly cheesesteak, yeah. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I've had them in Philly. They're really good. But I don't know, is that a standalone number one seed? Yes, Todd?
I have a couple of questions that go together as well, like our last call. What do you think of hot tamales and Carson Wentz as the backup to Mahomes?
Randos.
I see what you did
there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Carson Wentz is Patrick Mahomes' backup. And a hot tamale, I don't have an opinion on. Like a quesadilla, I do.
Quesadilla. Love yeah. that. The cheesesteak is what started the whole conversation.
That was last Friday, wasn't right? it?
Yeah. Either last Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. And then we had the Philly cheesesteaks, didn't we?
We did.
Okay. Let me see. Buck in Ohio. Hey, Buck, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan and Danette, how you doing?
Great.
6-1 in a post holiday 325. Mm-hmm. Marvin actually stole my thunder. I called in about the Arizona Wildcats with Stoudemire and Bibby beating 3 number ones to the championship. Nice job, Marvin. But if I can switch directions here with you, in order for the WNBA to take advantage of the Caitlin going into the pros and Angel, which she will declare, they need to hit this off right off the bat with every publication, every roster photo, develop that from a rivalry right off the bat, just like in 79 with Bird and Johnson. What do you think about that?
Well, it's different. Now, you do have the ESPN platform for the WNBA, and they certainly know how to promote. But Bird and Magic, it's the Celtics, it's the Lakers, it's East Coast, it's West Coast, it's black, it's white. It all fell into place. And that changed the NBA. From then on, changed the NBA. And then you bring in Jordan. Now we started to sprinkle in other players. And then all of a sudden you had something. And you had a commissioner who was looking at individuals, selling individuals. It was the Celtics with Larry Bird, but it was still Larry Bird. It was the Lakers with Magic. It was still Magic. It was Magic versus Bird. Even the Bulls, you know, they sold them as the Bulls, but it was Michael Jordan. The Bad Boys, but that was Isaiah Thomas. That commissioner, David Stern, knew that you could sell individuals in a team sport, and he did a wonderful job at that. And I think, you know, they're still doing that. And, somebody brought up Victor Wembanyama and then said, could he be the next Kevin Durant? No, I don't see that. Durant is, he's going to leave underrated, I think. But it feels like that he'll never get past joining the Golden State Warriors and then the failed experiment in Brooklyn. But as far as a scorer, just remarkable. With a handle and that ability to get his shot wherever he wants it, whenever he wants it. But I think we might look back on him and shortchange him a little bit because we will say the following. Well, couldn't win in Oklahoma City, had to join Steph Curry, which is true. Yes, Marv.
Yeah, in about 20 years, the people that overrate him, go to YouTube and type in Kevin Durant highlights. It's nothing like I've ever seen before. He might be the greatest offensive force I've ever seen.
Really?
Kevin Durant?
Nobody, and I'll say nobody again, modern day, even when he played, could stop Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's the greatest scoring force ever. No one stopped him. Now, Kevin Durant had handle, Kareem did not. But if Kareem got the ball, he was going to score. Guaranteed. Because no one could stop that shot. Yes, Mark.
No one can stop Kevin Durant.
Oh, we've seen that happen before.
Ooh.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Ooh.
Yeah. We've seen it. We've seen his jumper blocked.
I mean.
Wait, you just said nobody stops. Their game is different. But Kareem, defensively, blocking shots and scoring, no.
I mean, you talked about one defensive play. But try to guard Kevin Durant the entire game. You know what? Hopefully, just make it tough for him.
They do. But Kareem, it was too easy for Kareem. Nobody could guard him. Of all of the things in sports, if you say, boy, that's a given, Kareem's sky hook is right there. Of all the, man, that you can't stop that. I mean, you might say Gretzky on a breakaway or Jordan with the ball, game on a, I don't know. Kareem with the ball, down low, he'll be fake right, go left, shoot the sky hook. Automatic. Yes, Pauline.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lew Alcindor at the time, had 5 MVPs in his first 8 NBA seasons. Again, he gets underrated, and you mentioned Moses Malone, because of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's peak years were not in the NBA's peak television years, right? Kareem's best years were before 1979. That's just a fact, before 30. And so most of us, especially younger people like us who didn't see it, didn't see him. But without the three-point line, he averaged 36 a game at age 23. It's hard for us to discuss him because we didn't see it, and a lot of people didn't.
He didn't get to play his freshman year at UCLA, or he would have won 4 titles and been the MVP all 4 years. Because the freshman team at UCLA beat the varsity that won the national championship. He lost, what, 1 or 2 games? He lost 2 games in college. Did he lose 1 game in high school at Power Memorial? He was ahead of his time. Athletic, acrobat. I mean, just different. Just different. I mean, you've upset me now, Marvin.
But you'll be all right, though.
I will.
Okay.
I rally.
But I'm still sticking by Kevin Durant.
Okay, you can have Kevin Durant.
It might be like the most skilled versus the best convo that we were bringing up earlier last week with Kyrie. We'll just agree to disagree.
Okay.
Maybe it might be an age thing.
I'll give you Durant. I'll take Steph Curry. I'll give you Durant. I'll take LeBron.
Oh, I ain't say he was better. I just said he was the greatest offensive force. So I'm taking LeBron and...
Okay, I'm just saying, if we're talking about unstoppable, you know, highlights, I mean, his highlights are pull-up jumpers. Let's don't go crazy on highlights. LeBron's highlights, Steph Curry's highlights, Kareem's highlights, far better than Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant's highlights, the handle, Rob, go to YouTube. We'll do a looking.
All right, fair enough. Let me take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Got the odds to win the NBA title, according to DraftKings. Celtics, your big favorite, followed by the Nuggets, Clippers, Bucks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, a distant fifth. Do you trust the Celtics this year? I got the Clippers in there as well. Who do you trust more? Let's be positive. Celtics or the Clippers? They have two of the three best odds to win the title. Then the Nuggets are sandwiched in between. Yes, Paul?
I would trust the Celtics to get to the finals more than the Clippers to get to the finals. I wouldn't trust either to win it.
Okay.
I think that's a compliment for the Celtics.
All right.
I think that's accurate.
Marvin was making me look at Kevin Durant YouTube video highlights, and it's basically the same move, you know.
Just crossover pull-up jumper?
Exactly. That's it. That's his signature move. Wonderful player. One of the greatest scorers in the history of the game. Absolutely. But if you said, I could have LeBron or I could have Steph, modern day, I would take them over Kevin Durant. Scoring. Yes, Marv.
But there's nothing Kevin Durant can't do offensively.
He can't shoot like Steph Curry does. That range.
He's a very good shooter.
He's not a deep shooter. He's not a consistent deep shooter.
Ask LeBron about that deep pull-up three-pointer in the finals. He can pull up from 30.
Okay, but he doesn't.
Well, just because he doesn't mean he can't.
Doesn't mean he needs to.
Well, LeBron just had 9 threes, you know, the other night. Like, he's not a great three-point shooter, but he can do it. Yes, Paul.
Could you make the case that there's a handful of players that have no offensive weaknesses? Steph Curry's one of them. I think Kobe was one of them. He could post. He could drive. He could shoot from outside.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Durant does. He's not Steph. Or, no. I mean, he's not Kobe either.
No, but no. What I'm saying is, like, there's a scouting report. Like, you want to make him go left. You want to make him shoot from outside. There's nothing. Larry Bird, there was no shot he couldn't hit. Durant feels that way. Dirk felt that way for a good chunk of his career, that didn't matter what he could post or.
Well, these are guys who get 30,000 points. You don't accidentally get 30,000 points. I mean, you've got to be pretty much unguardable. The question is, how much bleeding is there going to be? Are you going to get 40 or 50, or am I going to hold you to 35? 30. Yes, Eden.
Durant has 5 scoring titles.
Yeah. Is that right?
Is it 4?
4 title scoring titles? Okay. No, he's a bucket. Absolutely.
That's all I was saying.
Okay.
The greatest bucket guy.
Oh, Adam Sandler's going to join us at the top of the hour. Sandman in London with his family shooting a movie, and he just said, I'll be there at the top of the hour, Danny. Let's see, a couple of phone calls in here. Did we settle anything there with Kevin Durant other than your generation watching Kevin Durant, me watching the totality of the NBA?
Good sports radio conversation. That's all it was.
It wasn't.
Or just us arguing.
I do like when people who didn't get to see these players have an opinion on these players. Now, I got to see them, so I at least have a firsthand knowledge of seeing them. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm Bill Simmons with, you know, the history of the NBA, but I've seen a lot more basketball than Bill has. But I trust judgment that he has, people he spoke to when he was writing his history, his encyclopedia of the NBA. But it's like when people go Oscar Robertson, he averaged a triple-double. That's all they know about Oscar. That's it. Didn't see him play. Don't even know what his game was like. He was unbelievable at Cincinnati in college. Territorial draft, went to the Royals, and then got traded later in his career to the Bucks, where he was the point guard with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes, Mark?
That's why I preface my argument with the greatest offensive force I've ever seen.
Okay. Fair enough.
Kareem retired. I was 4 or 5.
Okay. All right.
So just me. Just all sorry. Right.
Okay. But you were telling me to go to YouTube. I'm going to tell you to go to YouTube.
Dang, Marvin.
You got YouTube.
He just told you to go to YouTube, Marvin.
You YouTube. Okay. Go tube yourself.
Yeah.
Dang.
You told me to YouTube myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. Just watch Kareem.
Get that stuff right out of here.
Get that shot out of here. All right. Final hour on the way. Where do we stand with the po-boy versus French dip today, Seton?
Oh, man. French dip is crushing.
It is?
Absolutely crushing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, those people have not been to New Orleans.
Yeah, no.
They have not been there.
Or Milford.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes hopes to finish his story. Takes on Roman Reigns and The Rock, WrestleMania 40. That'll be Saturday and Sunday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Kickoff show at 5 Eastern on both days, 2 Pacific, exclusively on Peacock, which is where you can find this program. We'll limp towards the finish line. Final hour coming up. The Sandman will join us, and we'll clear up the Happy Gilmore 2 situation.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.